Good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vespers. My name is Carol. I'm one of the directors, and I would like to remind you that we have a concert tonight after Vespers, after the Eucharist, in Fireside with Elizabeth Brown, lute and guitar. So remember that when you get your ice. No ice cream tonight. Sorry, I forgot. It's Sunday. Anyway, we have people to welcome into the village today. Please stand when I call your name, and we will welcome you all together at the end. John Stromgren from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And he has brought Anne with him. Anne is one of our boarding students for the year. From Bothell, Washington, David and Emmanuel Doctor. From Spokane, Jerry and Margie Fay. From Gold Bar, Washington, Marvin Harrison, Brenda Maldonado, Deidre Dealey, and Matt Dealey. And from Issaquah, Washington, Kate McWiggins. From Ellensburg, Washington, Don and Ann Ring, joining our teaching staff. Okay, did I miss anyone? I saw Liz Kemmerer walk in. But they came in from the other side of the mountains. Who are you with, Liz? With Michelle and Mark. They came in the hard way, but they're probably feeling really good right about now. So, welcome to Holden. And we also lose some people tomorrow. So please stand if you have to go tomorrow, and we will pray together. Wow. Lots of you. Not quite an even exchange here, is it? Never is. Okay, let's pray. God of music and laughter, so often when we come together, the fruit of that companionship is song and merriment and joy. Thank you for the gifts that these friends have brought with them. Thank you for our time together. Give them memories to bless of this time. And give them extra energy and joy and even more music and song as they go down the mountain. Thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, all, and welcome to worship on this 13th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Eric Holland, and I'm just beginning to serve the village as pastor, and it's very good to be with you. For tonight's service, you'll need three things. First of all, you'll need the booklet entitled Evening Eucharist. You'll also need the blue Gather hymnal, as well as the multicolored Renewing Worship hymnal, or Renewing Worship songbook. If you don't have those, feel free to grab them. Tonight we'll also be blessed once again to worship with the choirs Jubilation and Shades of Praise. We had a wonderful concert worship service here last night, and we'll appreciate their gifts with us again tonight. The only other thing you need to know about the service is that we begin on page 1 of this booklet, and we'll simply follow it throughout. So you can just keep that with you for the whole service. Again, a warm welcome to you all, and please stand. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening,
and the day is almost over.
Open to us the scriptures,
that our hearts may burn within us.
Be known to us in the breaking of bread,
as you were made known to the disciples.
vesper skies, the evening has begun. And prayer and grace, like graceless flames, has set the golden sun. How blessed are you, our loving God, who weeps both day and night. A starry mantle for our road, the shadow and the light. Let evening lamps in kindled flame the table Christ has spread, and beckons everyone by name to breaking of the bread. Stay with us, Christ, our rest prepare.
May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be strengthened and preserved in all that is life-giving and good. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom with you and the Holy Spirit we worship and praise, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently. For this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The word of the Lord.
Our psalm this evening is number 15, and it's found in your blue gather hymnal on page 21. Again, 21.
They who do justice will live in the presence of God. Those who walk blamelessly and live their lives doing justice, who keep the truth in their heart and slander not with their tongue. They who do justice will live in the presence of God. Their neighbor.
Our second reading is from James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of the divine purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of this word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves, and then on going away, they forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Please rise. Can I take that?
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jewish people do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of life. Grace to you and peace from our Savior and our brother, Jesus Christ. Friends, it's good to be here with you. Very good. And as I was thinking about standing up here in front of you today, it occurred to me that I haven't had a chance to thank you all as a group for the warm welcome you've given me and Daniel this past week. In this time of big, and I mean big, transitions for us, you have been gracious and thoughtful and kind, and thank you. We look forward to being part of this venture called Life Together here at Holden. It's going to be quite a trip, I'm sure. May God's grace surround and fill us all. And now, on to why I guess you called me up here to stand in the first place, the sermon. Here we go. We often call it different things, but we've all got one. And not only do we call them different things, but one person's is often vastly different than another's. All the same, we've all still got one. I'm talking about the fact that we all have some sense of what people are supposed to do. Again, we call them all sorts of different things. Some call them morals, some call them ethics, some call it righteousness, some call it justice, some call it truth with a big fat capital T, others call it truth with a much more modest lowercase t. At the same time, we all have some sense of what we think is right and what we think is wrong, what people are supposed to do. This is true of individuals, and it is just as true of communities. We all have our own communities, and often the thing that shapes a community more than anything else is its common sense of what is right and wrong. The reading from Deuteronomy is very clear about the way doing the right thing is supposed to shape the people of Israel. These are the words of Moses spoken as the people prepare to enter the promised land. He says, "So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe. You must neither add anything to what I command nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. Take care and watch yourselves closely so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." It's clear. Israel knows exactly what it's supposed to do, and it's charged with doing it, with keeping those statutes and ordinances, never letting them slip from mind, and teaching them to their children, even their children's children. And if you're wondering what all those statutes and ordinances are, remember that the book of Deuteronomy goes on in great detail for another 30 chapters. We're all fortunate that wasn't part of tonight's reading. But my point is this. Communities throughout the ages have been formed and shaped around shared understandings of what people are supposed to do. We call these things laws, perhaps statutes, perhaps just common sense. Communities are formed around a shared sense of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is taboo. It's still true today. In fact, in a strange sort of way, it could even be more true today. We live in a time when traditional communities are breaking down, when individuals are becoming more and more mobile, and we are, as a people, less and less tied to the old hometown or the old neighborhood or the old church. We move around all the time from one place to another, and this means that traditional communities, based on geography, based on where people actually live, are slowly, even quickly, breaking down. And as these traditional communities break down, individuals are forced to search for new forms of community. We do that in so many different ways. For some, it's to move to a new neighborhood. And here's what's interesting. We often choose one based around a particular lifestyle, or perhaps shared values of an economic class. Some people move out to the suburbs, where the wealthy young parents go. Some people move to the gay neighborhoods. Others to the fringy, artsy spots where all the countercultural young people hang out. Others go to small-town America, where people are generally religious and Republican. Other people don't move, and they simply find communities of friends who think like themselves. Perhaps they seek out a church that suits them, or perhaps they just spend their time typing back and forth to people like them on the internet. Some people go ahead and seek out an even more radical option, and I warn you, this one's a little close to home. Some of us even choose to move out to a crazy place like Holden Village. And what's interesting, though, is that in all of these possible ways of finding community in this brave new world, what we usually end up doing is joining or creating community with people who think and act like us. We seek out folks who have similar values, people who agree with us about what is right and wrong and about how we're supposed to live our lives. We make our community there. Suffice it to say, this hasn't always helped our culture toward greater, hasn't helped our culture in its trend toward greater and greater polarization, and thus, often, division. The problem is, of course, we are never all going to completely agree on how it is we are to live our lives. In fact, people are often going to disagree mightily, and that's just the way life works. People have disagreed about the right way to live from time immemorial, and that is not going to change. And here's the unfortunate part. Nothing builds up walls and forms divisions more quickly among us than disagreements about the way we should live. I think you're wrong about something, you think I'm wrong about something, and then immediately our relationship is in trouble. If we disagree strongly enough, it might even be an open question whether or not we can stand to be civil to each other. These kind of ruptured relationships are all around us, and so often they are ugly. Often we try to minimize the ugliness by surrounding ourselves with people who think and act like us, but the ugliness in our world is still there, and it rears its head all over the place. Think of the nastiness in our national political climate. Think of the ugly polarizations that plague even our own chosen communities. Worst of all, think of the ugly politics that characterize even our own churches. And what causes it? Not just disagreement. Disagreement can be healthy. What causes all of this divisiveness and anger is not disagreement, but self-righteousness. Think about how much animosity is created by the self-righteous sense that I, or we, know unconditionally what is right and good. Someone says, we know how you should think and act and live, and someone else says, we know just how wrong you are. This is self-righteousness, and its fruits are bitterness, resentment, and ill will. But here's where the gospel comes in. Because in the midst of our disagreements, in the midst of our arguments, our bitterness, our anger, in the midst of our many, many polarizations, you just never know when Jesus is going to show up and say, you hypocrites, what do you think you're doing? In the name of what is good and right, in the name of your most holy tradition, perhaps even in the name of what you think is justice, look at what you're doing to your neighbor. Look at the evil you do and the injury you inflict. Look at the love you fail to share. In the gospel for today, Jesus quotes Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." Jesus says, "You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." This word from Jesus is a harsh word, no doubt. But know that it is also the very word of life. Because what comes after this painful but necessary bit of truth-telling is nothing less than the promise of new life. This is nowhere so clear as in those words of the Apostle Paul. "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." All that other stuff, those old certainties, those old truths, let them go. All that self-righteousness, all that baggage that makes you sure that you have the right answers and that everyone else is wrong, let it go. It doesn't do anyone any good, least of all yourself. The bitterness and resentment, the polarizing anger, the fierceness that keeps you divided from your neighbor, keeps you from loving your very own sister or brother and treating them with the dignity they have as children of God, let it go. Unclench your fists and be born anew. Say it this way: let us all resign ourselves to know nothing but that the love of Christ is making all things new, including me, including you. To God alone be the glory and the power and the praise. Amen. It's the hymn. That wasn't. The hymn of the day is in this is in your Renewing Worship Songbook. We've come this far by faith. It's number 269. 269.
You gonna stand?
Oh, we gotta stand.
Where we come this far away, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy words and His faith of the day we have. Oh, and around, we come this far away, we come. We come this far, Bappe, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me. Oh, dancing around, we come this far, Bappe. Whoa, whoa. Don't be discouraged with troubles in your life. He'll bear your burdens and move all misery and strife. That's why we've come. Just the other day, I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word. But I can truly say that God has made a way, and He'll never leave me yet. That's why we come this far away, leaning on the Lord.
Everybody
please
catch our
standing.
Breath and
please
sit down.
Standing.
No, we're going to sit or stand.
Either way.
sit. Okay. I've been here longer than he has.
Yes, he has.
Oh, let's join our joyful hearts together in the prayers of the people. I will say, God, through your mercy, and your response will be, accept our prayer. Gracious, merciful, holy, wonderful, amazing God, we come to you because you have called us your beloved sons and daughters. We depend on your mercy toward us more than anything else in our lives. We are protected and comforted. We are offered peace in the middle of daily chaos. We are rocked gently in your mothering arms night after night. Precious God, hear these prayers for ourselves and our neighbors, our communities and your church, and for all the world. God, through your mercy,
accept our prayer.
Thank you, God of creation, for the beauty that surrounds us here. Help us never to take for granted any part of your creation. Make us protective and outspoken stewards of this wondrous but limited gift. Grant us wisdom to make tough decisions about how we live and work, courage to put our beliefs into action, and graciousness to join forces with all those who love this earth and strive to protect it. God, through your mercy,
accept our prayer.
Thank you, God of justice, for people of all nations, from all communities, who work for peace in organizations like the Christian Peacemakers Teams and Operation Dove. Protect them physically, strengthen them spiritually, and bless their efforts to bring your love and unity into a world of hatred and division. God, through your mercy,
accept our prayer.
God of all humanity, we lift up to you those peoples and nations who are so gripped by the terror and destruction of war that each day is hell on earth. Remember your children in Palestine and Israel, Iraq and Lebanon, Darfur and Colombia. Give them the strength and the faith to survive one more day and the realistic hope that tomorrow can be better. Raise up leaders who will put aside ideology and anger and look honestly at the needs of their people. Create in those of us who do have peace and stability the will to be peacemakers. Turn us from listeners and talkers into doers of peace. God, through your mercy,
accept our prayers.
Thank you, God of mercy, for the thousands of ways your children around the world join community and find a way to share the story of your grace. Thank you for the ministry of your servant Philip in his native Nepal and for the window into that world he shared with us. We pray for all members of your church, wherever they worship, in whatever language. Make us all instruments of your mercy and examples of your love. Make us one family united by the cross and the resurrection. God, through your mercy,
accept our prayer.
Thank you, God of comfort, for being not only the God of the universe, but the God of individuals. Each of us needs you in some specific, immediate, personal way. We pray today particularly for those who are living with grief caused by separation or brokenness or death. We lift up the family and friends of Carol Quinn, especially George Ann and Jerry Kreider, who are here in the village. Grant them comfort even in their sorrow. May they even now look back over their friend's life and find joy and laughter and sweet memories. And may they move forward in faith, secure again in your mothering arms. God, through your mercy,
accept our prayer.
Thank you, God of love, for knowing each of our hearts, for hearing our prayers, spoken and unspoken, private and communal. We lay them before you in gratitude and humility. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and stand. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with one another. We're going to go ahead and move ahead here with the offering. I have one announcement about offering. that this year's summer offerings are being divided between two organizations. The first is the Christian Peacemaker Teams, groups of Christians from a number of different denominations who go to places like Colombia, Palestine, and Iraq to work in whatever ways they can to bring peace to those places without much peace at all. Our second recipient is the Hispanic Outreach Ministry of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in San Diego, a ministry related to Holden's annual Abriendo celebration. So we invite you to be generous. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully some.
Stand. hands.
Please stand for the offertory offering hymn.
To you. Will you join me in the offertory prayer? Blessed are you, living God, creator of the universe. You give us this earth, our home, an abundant garden. We offer you the fruits of our daily labor, together with our dreams of a world renewed by your Spirit. Through this meal, rekindle among us the light of Christ, and be our companion by day and night. Amen.
Just a couple of instructions about communion. Both wine and grape juice are offered at this table. Wine will be served by both common and individual cup. Grape juice will be served by individual cup only. If you prefer grape juice, please take an individual cup and proceed to the second pitcher. The first pitcher will contain wine. Children are welcome to receive communion at this table. If you prefer a blessing for yourself or for your child rather than the elements, please come forward with your hands folded and the person serving bread will give you a blessing. Finally, know that all are welcome at this table. Jesus Christ alone is our host, and Christ's grace and promises are for all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good to praise you, holy, life-giving God, for all your gifts, and especially for the gift of the resurrection of our crucified Savior Jesus, who has brought the promise of new life to all the world, and so with the whole living and rising earth, with land and sky and sea and all their creatures, and with all the heavens, we here in this valley now lift our voices to join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy Lord, most holy, God of power and God of might, heaven and earth reveal your glory. Hail, Hosanna, Lord of light, blessed be the coming Savior. Hosanna, Lord of light.
Holy God, our bread of life, our table, and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners, and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks,
broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and in want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through Christ, all glory and honor is yours, O God, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Now let us pray the prayer that Jesus has taught. Please use whichever form of the prayer is closest to your heart.
Our Father, in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be your
thy
name.
Kingdom come, thy will
your
be
kingdom
done,
come,
on earth as
your
in
will
heaven.
Be done.
On
earth
us
as
our
in
daily
heaven.
Bread.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive
us our sins.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom
Save
and the power
time,
and the glory forever.
And deliver
Amen.
Us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Ask for the servers to come.
Servers, please come forward.
This is wine. Yeah.
Our next hymn will be 177 from Renewing Worship.
The food that will
yourself for the life of the world. Come, learn the true and love for you, that your hunger and thirst be no more. Bread of life from heaven, your blood and body given, we eat this bread and drink this cup until you come again. Taking the life that will never swim, taste the life that is stronger than death. Live in the one who will come and then raise you up at the last with the blessed. Bread of life from heaven, your blood and body given. We eat this bread and drink this cup until you come again. Dwell in the one who now dwells in you. Make your home in the life-giving word. Know only Christ, Holy One of God, and believe in the truth you have heard. Bread of life from heaven, your blood and body given. We eat this bread and drink this cup until you come again. Drink of this cup and declare his death. Eat this bread and believe Easter morn. Trust his return and with every breath praise the one in whom you are reborn. Bread of life from heaven, your blood and body given. We eat this bread and drink this cup until you come again.
Know him. Know him.
Please rise. We'll just send you out with a blessing now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go and serve the living God of communion and wonderful music.
Thanks be to God.